Amen. All of God's people said? Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2. I told Derek, I said that new song when you started singing. I was like, I don't know. But then we got into it and I kind of liked it. Amen. Yeah, we can clap for that. Amen. And so, well, Les is going to clap. The rest of you are just like on yesterday's time, I guess. Man, that was a good worship service, man. I'm in a lot of churches and we are blessed to have the musicians and the folks that we have, and Derek does an incredible job. Amen. And just very thankful for Derek. Last week we wrapped up our Generosity Sunday, and I'm thankful to say, if you haven't heard yet, we had over $31,000 come in on All Tithes Sunday last week. Amen. And that's $10,000 more than what we typically bring in on a Sunday. And I know some give once a month, and that's the first of the month and whatnot. But could you just imagine what we could do every week with $10,000 more a week? I mean, that would just be incredible. And I certainly believe that capacity for us to give, to live generously, and to live open-handedly is certainly there for us as a church. And I believe that when we give more, we're going to be able to do more. Amen? And there's so much need in the world in which we live, and there's so much not just need, there's so much opportunity for us to be rich in good deeds and in love. And I pray that would be the heart and the character of our church. And thinking about the character of our church, I want us to begin a new series entitled DNA, or talking about over the next 5 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks, what is the identity of our church? Who are we and what is our personality? How has God gifted Southgate to advance the gospel to the ends of the earth? You know, today what I want to do, and this message is a little bit different, I'm going to give to some degree an overview. And we're going to kind of lay out what the landscape is over the next several weeks. And then each of these points we're going to take and we're going to break them down over the next several weeks in more detail, so that we as a church and we as individuals can understand where we might fit in regards to this process. Where might we discover our place here at Southgate? Because see, I believe there's great potential in this room to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what it is. It's potential. And I believe that God wants to bless. I believe God is blessing Southgate. He's blessing our church family. In the last year, we have seen one mighty provision after another. Amen? God has been so good to us this last year. Beyond generosity, we have seen young people come to know Christ. We've seen adults put their faith in Jesus and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Now that the pandemic to some degree is over and we're getting back to some rhythm of normalcy, we're beginning to see more and more guests and visitors come to Southgate week in and week out. This week I was told by our assimilation team that we have over 20 people that are potential folks to visit our Starting Point class this coming spring. Amen? 20 different folks that represents families that have been coming and visiting our church. And so we've just been seeing God do one thing after another, so that we can gain momentum that can only be explained by the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a church where good things are happening. So much so that when people are like, man, what's going on at church? How do you explain what's happening? How did you pay $1 million off in 14 months? I don't know. Man, how did you raise an additional $80,000 for missions this year? I don't know. But what I do know is God's at work. Amen? And we can rejoice in the reality that the Holy Spirit, when He does His thing, we know it's Him and not us. When I came to candidate over a year ago, about a year and a half, I expressed my desire to be a part of a church that is a movement, one that is going in the direction that God is leading us in, one that God is blessing. And I want to ask you this morning, and please, if you're taking notes in the bulletin today, maybe write this question down because it's not in there. But let me ask you this question. What kind of church do you want to be a part of? What kind of church do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of a church that's moving forward and living by faith and reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you want to be a part of a church that's loving the least of these? I don't know about you, but I do. Amen? I want to be a part of the church of seeing families put back together, seeing families restored, seeing young people that are passionate about Christ and coming to know Christ. I want to see folks that are transformed from darkness to light. I want to see those that have addiction to alcohol and drugs and other things that this life might afford, to see them set free by the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I don't want that to be an anomaly. I want that to be a part of the life of Southgate Baptist Church. Amen? You see, we want to be a movement, not an institution. We want to be a movement. See, the church, we're not an organization, because an organization is a business. We're an organism. We're constructed by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we want to be a movement, because movements, by definition, they move. Movements, by definition, move. And if you're not moving, if you're not a part of this thing called the church, and you're not moving in the direction that God is leading, you're not part of the movement. And so I want to ask you today, what if God chose? And I keep saying this because I'm praying for it. I don't know about you, but I am. But I keep asking this question, what if God decided to add 50 to 100 people to the kingdom this year through Southgate? Man, what if God did that? What if a year from now, 50 to 100 people that were lost a year prior to now, they were now sitting in the seats that you're sitting in today? How incredible would that be? Amen? Amen. And so we need to pray for that. We need to purpose for that. We need to work for that. We need to structure and organize to that end. And that's what we want to look at in Acts chapter 2 today. Now, all cards on the table. If I were to confess some things today, if I were allowed to do that, I read a book by a pastor several years ago called Pastoral Confessions. And in that book, he wrote about some of the things that he wanted to kind of get off of his chest in a, not in a mean way or in a harsh way, but he was just being very fair and firm in his evaluation of the church. One of the confessions that he made is he said, you know, I feel really uncomfortable around Christian people, because Christian people tend to be judgmental. In fact, if I were to allow to be honest today, even as a pastor, the church can be very disappointing at times, if I'm being honest, because it's made up of broken people. I mean, that's the church. All of us come from a place of brokenness, and the reality is that broken people can be jerks, they can be judgmental, and they can often even, they can be fake and lack a certain level of authenticity with who they are and where they're at in their own spiritual journey. But I want to say this, even with all of its flaws, even though the church is filled with broken people, and even though the church can be disappointing at times, I found the church to be a place of beautiful diversity when God's people follow and pursue Jesus and they love Him. I found the church to be an incredibly beautiful place when we're all heading in the same direction, when we're all pursuing the heart of God, when we're all pursuing a life of a disciple of Christ that really wants to follow Jesus Christ. And it's likely that many of us have had mixed experiences with the church. There might be some of you today that you come from a church background and you were hurt at some point in a church. Maybe a pastor let you down. Maybe a leader or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or just some other church member hurt your feelings. Or maybe like you were betrayed, or maybe it just wasn't what you expected. And what I want to do today is I want us to get our eyes off of a man or off of a person and get them back to Jesus Christ. Amen? I want us to begin focusing on what it is that Jesus has actually called us to, because I think we can all agree that the church is a beautiful place when it's working the way that God designed it to work. Because it's supposed to be plan A in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the scriptures, every church that you read about was filled with a bunch of misfits. Amen? I mean, that's the church. A bunch of broken sinners, a bunch of misfits. But the truth is, what we find in the Bible is that God loved and died for the church. He purchased the church with His own blood, and He has now commissioned the church to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to a lost and dying world. And so the big idea today is this. A church is a church because it makes and multiplies disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us a church. A church is a church because it makes and multiplies disciples of Jesus Christ. And I want to be really clear on this. If we fail to make and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ, we have failed in being a church. We have not lived up to the expectation and the commissioning of Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 28 and in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And so our text today gives us a map. It gives us, if you will, a roadmap, not a menu. A lot of churches are like a buffet. You come in and they have this class for this and this program for this and this and this and this and this. And it's like a smorgasbord. And the crazy thing is, and I just drove by Gold Corral the other day. How many of you love Corral? We got some white hairs in here that love Golden Corral. Amen? I love me a good buffet. And that's the thing about a buffet is that you get to pick and choose what you want to serve yourself. And that consumerism has certainly found its way into the church. Because we have a tendency to pick and choose. I'll take a little of this and I'll take a little bit of that. And if you stop serving what I like, I'm out. And that's not the way that God intended the church to be. Instead of a menu, the book of Acts gives us a map. It gives us a map, not a menu, for making disciples of Jesus. And in these verses, we want to define with crystal clear clarity who we are, who we're going to be, and what it looks like practically for us to make and multiply disciples of Jesus. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, "So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls." And I want to say this about the book of Acts. It's descriptive, not prescriptive. What I mean by that is if we do what they did in Acts, then we're going to see 3,000 people get saved. No. This book is explaining to us what happened in the book of Acts, and it's giving us the principles upon which we build a foundation of making and multiplying disciples in the season that we're in. Verse 42 says, "And they, those who received Christ, were baptized, were added to the church, and even back then they kept count." Somebody was counting, right? And someone's like, "Oh man, you know, I don't want to be all about the numbers." Well, there's an entire book of the Bible written about numbers. I just got done reading it this week in my yearly Bible reading. And this person begat this person. And they kept records, bro. They knew who was in, they knew who was out. So they counted. You know why? Because every number represents a person, a life, a story. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. The Bible says, "And all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had any need. And day by day..." And that's so funny, man. Some people are like, "Man, you want me to go to church on Sunday?" And when I was a kid, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We had a saying called three to thrive, right? And people would gripe about going to church three times a week. I'm like, "Oh, if you want to get all New Testament about it, they went to church every day." And so here it is, every day, attending, hanging out, talking about the Lord, spreading the gospel, breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. And so today I want to look at verses 41 and 42. I want to really kind of dig into this. And the next week we're going to talk about the Great Commission, what it's going to take for us to reach the world with the gospel. And in the following weeks we're going to talk about community, and we're going to talk about what it looks like to serve. Because see, we as a church have a process. We have a purpose. It's out on the walls. Knowing Christ, getting plugged into community, and then serving others. Now, the way we said this in Chicago was loving God, growing together, and serving others. And today what I want to do is I want to kind of break it down even more simple than either one of those mission statements or purpose statements could be. Because I want it to be so simple for us that if I called you at 3 a.m., right? I'm not going to do that, I promise. I mean, I'd have to be really hard up to call you at 3 a.m. Like, I would need a Papa John's pizza or something, right? But if I called you at 3 a.m., if I was to say, "Hey, what do we do? What do we do at Southgate?" you'd be able to say Christ, community, and commission. We're going to do those three things. It's a roadmap. It's a process upon which we are going to build and make and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ. It's very simple. It's something that all of us should be able to remember. And all of us, every single one of us, fit somewhere into this process. And we are a part of this spiritual journey for ourselves and for those that God brings into our life to help them along in their spiritual journey. And so Acts describes how to accomplish this, and we're going to use three words. Now, the first one is this, Christ. And what we mean by that, and what we intend by that, is we desire that every person that comes to Southgate knows and understands who Jesus Christ is. Amen? Whether or not you ever join Southgate, whether or not you ever become a Baptist, that's not like the biggest thing in the world. And let me just say this. Baptists aren't the only ones, amen? I know some of you, it's gonna blow your mind when we get to heaven and you realize that there's some folks there that aren't Baptists. It's crazy, but it's going to happen. And I love being Baptist. I mean, I do, but it doesn't get you to heaven. I had a pastor in college that said, you don't need to be a Baptist to go to heaven, but why not go first class? He used to say that. That's not good Bible. It's not good theology. Don't tell anyone I said that. Charlene's going to edit that tomorrow because we love our brothers. And Baptists aren't the only ones. In fact, we're kind of like the rednecks of the theological landscape, right? In Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 41, Peter steps into this scenario, this temple, and all of a sudden he just starts calling them out, and he starts preaching the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In fact, in verse 23, he says, this Jesus, you delivered him up according to that definite plan and the foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And God, listen to this, you killed him and he died and God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death because it is not possible for him to be held by. And I don't know about you, but that ought to get you fired up. Amen? So the purpose of Southgate, first and foremost, is that people know Jesus Christ. That they know and understand the gospel message. We want everyone to know this. We want our neighbors to know this. We want the nations to know this. We live and we exist and we function so that people might know Jesus. Amen? That's the heart of our church. We want everyone to know this. And you might be getting started in your journey this morning, or you might be at it for a long time. And even if you're here and you don't know Jesus and you have questions, we want to encourage you. Bring your doubts. Bring your questions. Because growing in love and knowledge of Christ is foundational to the Christian life. Being a Christian is about pursuing a relationship, not pursuing religion. That's not what this is about. God has called us to follow Jesus and not just a list of rules. A lot of people don't want to know Christ. A lot of people don't want to follow Jesus or be a part of a church family like this because they're like, I don't want religion. I don't want a bunch of rules. Cool, that's not what we're about. We're about Jesus Christ. And we want you to know who he is. In fact, in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. That's the goal. So how does this all start? Well, in verse 41, we see that Christ, knowing Christ, it commences at salvation. We are gathered around the truth of the gospel today. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that unites us all. Because the most important message that anyone can ever hear and ever receive is the message that God loves them. That Jesus died for them, and he came back from the dead, and one day he's coming again for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In this text, he says God raised him up in verse 24, loosing the pangs of death. Isn't that quintessential of what Paul said later on to the church at Corinth, where he says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Because for the follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And so for those of us who know Christ, this commences at salvation. Listen, you cannot be right with God, forgiven of your sins, and begin to pursue God's design for your life until you decide to follow Jesus. That's the first step of being a church that puts Christ first, that puts knowing Christ first. But it doesn't just commence at salvation, it continues with identification. In verse 41, the second part of that passage says, those who received the word, what word? The gospel that Peter was just talking about in the previous passage, or in the previous verses. Those who received the gospel, they were baptized and added to the church that day. They identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel. You see, wearing my wedding ring shows the commitment that I've made to my wife. Now, when I was in Chicago, baptism was a big deal. In the South, like, everyone's baptized. Everyone just gets baptized. That's just what you do. But in Chicago, we had a lot of those who came out of the Roman Catholic Church. And when you're a child in the Roman Catholic Church, you're baptized into the church as a baby at birth. And what happens is that then becomes their salvation, that they are baptized into the family of God. But baptism always comes after you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And over the years, I had the opportunity to lead several of my Catholic brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ, and we would baptize them in the baptismal, by the waters of immersion. The word baptize actually means to immerse. One of my favorite restaurants in Chicago was a place called Bona Beef. And on Sunday afternoons, I'd go to Bona Beef, and I would get a beef sandwich, shaved beef. It was so good. And they would take your sandwich, and they'd ask you, how do you want your sandwich? And there was a sign in this restaurant, this godless pagan restaurant. They didn't know Jesus there. I walk in and they had this sign that said, do you want it baptized? Now, they didn't mean, do you want a little sprinkle? Do you want us to pour over it? No, man, they took my sandwich and they put it in that au jus and they just immersed that baby in there. You know what I mean? They baptized it in the Holy Ghost. That's what baptism means. It means to identify with something. You guys are getting hungry. I got a few more minutes. I got a clip because I'm only on point number one, and this is unusual. Continues the identification and baptism, but then also church membership. If you're not a member of a church, you're an orphan. You need to be a part of a church family. You need to have a group of people that you're walking with in community, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but it continues with identification and baptism and church membership. They were added that day. But then, knowing Christ is cultivated through worship. I don't know about you, man, but worship is personal. In Psalm 63, verse 3, David said, oh God, you're my God. Earnestly I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David personally worshiped God. And we do that every day when we read our Bible, when we spend time with God in prayer, and we commune with him on our own. And listen, you ought to go home every day and read the Bible for yourself. The book of Acts talks about that. There were those who were no more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I might say some things today, and you're like, I don't know about that. You ought to go home and look it up yourself. You ought to know the Bible for yourself. If you come to me and you're like, hey, Pastor, I was reading in Obadiah 43:3. What does that say? I don't know. Look it up. Like, I'm not the Pope. I'm not the priest. Like, you don't come to me for your spiritual daily provision. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. And one of the things about being a Baptist is that we have individual soul liberty. We can go to God on our own. You don't have to come to me. God help you. Don't come confessing your stuff to me. I don't want to know about it. I see enough of your shenanigans on Facebook. I don't need to know anymore. We grow and cultivate our love for Christ and worship personally, but then corporately. The Bible says in Matthew 28:17, when they saw him, they worshiped. When they saw Jesus, man, when they saw him, they just fell to their faces and they worshiped him. Today, I didn't know how Derek would handle this, but when that song we were singing and we got to clapping, you know, I looked around and nobody in that section back there, back in there, back in, I almost got up on stage and said, if we ain't going to clap, we ain't going to sing today. Let's get to clapping, amen? Now, some of you, you're thinking, oh, that's just for the, you know, for our other brothers, you know, the ones that believe in the Holy Spirit. I can't clap in church. And some of you, you want to clap, and it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. And you get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of clapping. Man, I don't know about you, but when I heard the music today, I tell myself all the time, I lie to myself all the time and say, I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy of God's love. And we're singing that song, you are who you say that I am. Man, that ought to get us fired up. Oh, man. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. I want to say this. I am thankful to God for technology. And thank you for all those that are joining us online today. But online church is not church. It's just not church. Church is when we gather in this room together. Now, I get we have some shut-ins. There are some folks today that are sick, others that are traveling for vacation. And thank God for the technology. Amen? But there's something special about getting together with the people of God. There's something special about coming in and seeing your smiling faces. And some of you that are frowning at me right now. He needs to hurry. I got to go to Freddy's. Listen, I get it. That's part of being a family. Sometimes I've gone to Christmas on my wife's side, not my side, because we're all healthy and normal folk. I'm just kidding. But you know how it is. Almost every year at the holidays, there's this weird family member. You don't want to be around them, but they're still part of the family. Amen? And they're the ones that make for the best stories. And that's what a church family is. Amen? So here at Southgate, we want you to understand the most important thing that we can do is know Christ. Now, I'm going to clip through this real quick because I'm going to teach on this specific part of the text in a few weeks. But community. We've got to grow together, church. I love these words. And they continued together. They continue together. That's my dream. That's my heart. See, joining and attending a life group goes beyond attending to doing life together, walking together, struggling together, serving together. We need to begin to see the church, as I just mentioned, as a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, we need each other. Now, I don't want to be funny, and if it is funny, I apologize, and I'll apologize to him later. But there's some men in this church, some older men. I look at Chuck, and I look at Larry, and I look at some of these men, and I'm the pastor of the church, and I know a lot of you look up to me, and you're like, oh, man, he's really cool. He's really awesome. He really knows the Bible. The older I get, the more I realize that I'm kind of not that great, not the smart. And quite frankly, I'm not always the smartest person in the room, and guess what? That's okay. But just this week, you know, I'm thinking about parenting. I'm thinking about, man, I'm dealing with some stuff with my kids. I don't know what to do. I've never raised a teenage daughter before. And I got two of them. And I'm not going to tell you which one I had an issue with this week. But one of them, you know, got a little sideways. And we had to figure it out. And guess what? We were able to call one of those men, call one of their wives and say, hey, what'd you do when your kids were this age? You know why? Because that's a family. And that's because I'm not trying to have this pretense and act like I've got it all together, like I'm perfect. No, man, every single one of us, no matter who we are or where we are in a spiritual journey. And listen to this. We need each other. These older saints, you need the younger saints, you know, because they do all the, they should be doing all the work, right? And the younger people, we need the older folks because they've got experience. They've got faith. I mean, there's some folks in this church that certainly they have a better walk with God than I do. You know why? Because they've been at it longer. And that doesn't minimize my calling. That just shows me that I can come alongside of them and they can show me some things about what it means to actually know, love, and walk and follow Jesus when it's good and when it's bad. When there's highs, when there's lows, when there's means and when it's lean. And so they grew together through teaching. We see that in verse 42, through teaching. Doctrine. That's why we're here. We're here to learn what the Bible says. We're not going to play doctrine. Let me ask you this. Would you come here if we didn't have nice facilities and music? Would you? Would you come here if we didn't have nice facilities and good music? Would you just sit on the floor and hear the Word of God preached? Would you do that? See, that's one of the beautiful things that I loved about church planting. When we planted a church, we met in a little country school. Wednesday nights, across the street, Katy Corner of the school, was a town hall. That town hall was not even the size of the suite, office suite that we meet in. It was just about half of that. It was so small. It was a one-room town hall that a quarter mile over the way, we had to drop our kids off in nursery at a friend of mine's barn that had a tractor and tools in it. That was the stuff our kids played with during church that night. And then every year, for a month, the school would kick us out. We'd have to find a place to meet. We met in a tent. We met in that barn, 105 in the middle of June. I preached for 15 minutes that day and had two families join the church, probably because they thought I was going to preach for 15 minutes every week. But you know, why that happens? Because there's a commitment to the vision and the purpose of the church. It's not about a person. It's not about a place. We would joke, if you could find us, you can worship with us. Because we never knew in the summer where we were going to be meeting. I remember to this day, man, I was a young church planter, 28 years old. And I was so stressed out because I was just trying to reach that community that I loved. And I was trying to fulfill my calling. And I remember we had to put up a tent. And I thought, man, this is so stinking hokey. Who's going to come to a tent that's on the property of a school? Like, we're so broke. We're so poor. We're so kind of ghetto. Like, who would come to this? And I remember that day, John Gorecki, crazy old dude, brought his buddy John Plate. And then John brought his wife, and she came to Christ, and she got saved out of the Roman Catholic Church. And to this day, they're still members of that church. You know why? They didn't buy into me. They didn't buy into a location. They bought into the purpose. They bought into what God was doing there. And it wasn't about facilities, and it wasn't about location, and it wasn't about music. It was about seeing God work. And it was about growing together with our families. And John was a bit older than me, and we got to do life together, and we shared in struggles together. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's not a country club. And so they were growing together and teaching, but then also through devoted fellowship, relationships. I like what Jossie Chacko said, teaching content will bring a crowd, but teaching obedience makes a disciple of Jesus Christ. And here's the last one, Christ, community. I'm going to dig into that more in the weeks to come. And then commission. That just means serving others. Here we see the church serving the community all through this text and proclaiming the gospel. Ed Stetzer said, for far too long, we've made it acceptable to sit week after week and do nothing and yet call yourself a Christian. And that's, I'm going to tell you something. If you're coming to Southgate from here going forward, if you're not serving in some capacity, it's going to be my job to make you biblically uncomfortable. Amen? Like, that's the job. And my job isn't to do the ministry, it's to equip you to do the ministry that God has called us to do. So I want to encourage you, I want to provoke you to love and good works. I want to see you fulfill your gifting and your calling and live for something eternal, something significant, something that matters beyond the life that we're living in the moment. So one of the prevailing reasons that I believe that many jump from church to church is because they haven't completely committed to community and commission. They haven't committed to the community and the commission of the church that they personally attend. And so it makes it easier for them to leave when they don't like something or when something doesn't go their way. Several years ago, man, I had this college girl that was in my college class. She wasn't in my class, she was in the church, and she was attending our college ministry. She came to me, and she says, well, you know, Pastor, I'm going to leave the church. And I said, why are you leaving the church? She goes, well, that girl over there, she made me mad. She pointed to a young lady that was sitting on the other side of the car, and she's upset me, and I can't go to church with her. She told me that, and I said, well, you know, Matthew 18 says, if you have an offense, you go to your brother. You make it right. They hear you, you're going to win them. And I know her, that's what's going to happen. I don't care, I don't like her. I'm not going to church where she goes to church. It's like, okay. So she left the church. And to this day, I don't know that sister is in church. I don't know. And that's the thing. That's why we get so frustrated. We get so sideways because we look at one another and we try to measure each other and act like we're more righteous than each other. And we're not committed to community. We're not committed to doing life with each other. We're not committed to accountability and holding each other accountable to the way that we love one another. And we're certainly not committed to the commission of Jesus Christ. That's why it makes it easier for us to slide in and slide out. So we're going to ask you to do two things over the next month. Discover your place in ministry. and develop a passion for the lost. And some of us think, man, I don't know if I'm good at sharing the gospel. I don't know. Like, that's for other people. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a technique problem. It's an apathy problem. Many of us just don't care. And some of us, it's not that we don't care, we just don't know any lost people. Now, I've been trying to get healthy this year. Lewis Kren's in the back there. He's my doctor, and he told me last year, he says, hey, you're getting really close to going on medication for your cholesterol. And I said, we're getting really close to not doing that. I'm going to fix that by next year. Give me a year. And so I came up to him today. I said, Lewis, I'm coming for you. I can't wait for my checkup this year. I'm down, right? I don't want to get on these meds. You know, I want to put that off as long as I can. So I go to the gym. And I started working out, trying to lift some heavy things. And I go to the supplement store right up here on Campbell. And I run into this kid named Ian. I want you to pray for Ian. Because Ian's like, I've seen you at Chesterfield working out. I said, cool, man. Maybe we can talk sometime. So I'm at the gym on Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. So I'm working out on Friday. And there's two other guys I invited, Jordy and Dylan. I said, Jordy, Dylan, would you guys come over? I'm going to cook some pub burgers on the grill. I want to chat with you, get to know you, maybe invite you to church. Oh, great, man, we love to do that. And I run into Ian. You know, I tell Ian, hey, I'm going to have Jordan and Dylan over to my house. Listen, if you don't know and you're not walking with some lost people, you probably don't know the heart of God. It's just the way it is. So I look over to Ian, and I say, hey, Ian, man, thanks for those supplements that you recommended. They're totally making a difference. Can't you tell? And I started, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that, right? I said, man, I appreciate it. I can certainly tell an improvement in some of my performance, and I want to thank you for recommending that. Could you come to my house for dinner? I'd love to get to know you, maybe have you come over for church. I got a list right now of about 8 people that I'm begging God, would you let them come to know Jesus? Would you let them be my guest on Easter? Because listen, we're not going to win the world if we're not intentional about it, if we're not focused on it, if we're not purposeful about it, if we're not praying for it. And that's what I want us to understand. As we think about the purpose and process and the identity and the DNA of Southgate, one of the things that we find is that the book of Acts goes out of its way to communicate that the gospel travels faster around the world in the mouths of regular Christians than it does full-time vocational workers. Grab onto that. The gospel will spread in the neighborhoods and into the nations. Not through pastors and vocational workers, but through the mouths of ordinary folks, just like you and me. God's not looking for the next Billy Graham, D.L. Moody. God's just looking for people that want to yield to his purpose and his plan and be filled with the Spirit of God to do the work that he has called us to do. So I want to go back and I want to ask you, what kind of church do you want to be a part of? What do you want to be a part of? You want to hitch your wagon to this and say, I'm in. I want to develop this passion for the lost. I want to discover my place. I want to know and follow Christ. And I want to commit to living in community with my brothers and sisters in Jesus. If that's your case, then you found a good place to call home. Amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I know Christ is my Savior. I know that I've been saved. I know that I'm forgiven of my sins. I'm right with God. And if I were to die today, and I were to slip out into eternity, I know that heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand and just let me see that as a way of testimony today? How many of you would say that? Amen. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I don't know for certain that heaven is my home. I don't know that I'm a follower of Christ. I don't even know if I'm right with God. And if I were to die today, I don't know where I would end up. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Is there anyone that's like that that's in here today? Anyone at all? Amen. Amen. How many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, I want to be a part of a church that's reaching the world. I want to be a part of the church that's reaching our neighborhoods, that's reaching our community, that's reaching Springfield. And I know maybe I've gotten a little off track because of the pandemic. I've gotten off track because my feelings have gotten hurt. And that might be legit. I'm not minimizing your feelings. But you might just be here today and say, man, I want to refocus my life. I want to be a part of this process for me personally of knowing Christ, living in community, and serving others, being on commission. I want that for my life personally, and I want to be a part of a church that's doing that. Would you lift your hand and let me see those hands this morning. Amen. Boy, hands are going up all over the room. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, let's all stand to our feet this morning. Father in heaven, you see the hands of these dear folks. And God, I just want to say thank you for a church that's sensitive to the Word of God. A church that wants to be shaped by the truth of your Word. Please, God, help us to grow as a church. Help us to grow as individuals. Help us to walk in faith, not by sight, trusting you that you're going to build your church and multiply your kingdom to the ends of the earth. And I just pray, Lord, as a church today, that we might respond according to your word. That if the Spirit has spoken to us today, that we would listen and that we would respond accordingly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The church, I'm going to ask you, I'm begging you, I need you. This church, you didn't hire me to come in and be the hero. You know why? Because Jesus is the hero. Amen? And I need your help. This is an all hands on deck. Right now, the Ukraine is embattled in a war with the Russians. And it just sounds weird even saying that. The president of that country, they're in a wartime mentality. Sometimes as Christians, we kick our feet up and we get comfortable. Folks, we're coming down to the end of this thing. Jesus is coming sooner than what we expect. Boy, we ought to be thinking in terms of what can we do to reach our world with the gospel. As your pastor this morning, I'm begging you, would you come and just yield? Would you come and just say, I'm in. I want to be a part of helping everyone know who Christ is. I want to know Christ. I want to follow Christ. I want to live in community. I want to strengthen others. I want others to strengthen me and my family. And I want to live on commission. Would you do that just as your pastor today? I'm asking you. Let's commit to this. Let's see something. Let's see God do something so big and so faith-filled that a year from now, 5 years from now, we could point back to this day and say, that changed the history of Southgate. Would you do that today as we sing this first note?